Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 2, The Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is contrary to all they have ever heard from priest or rabbi. They see in it nothing to flatter their pride or to feed their ambitious hopes. But there is about this new teacher a power that holds them spellbound. The sweetness of divine love flows from his very presence as a fragrance from a flower. His words fall like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. All feel instinctively that here is one who reads the secrets of the soul. yet who comes near to them with tender compassion. Their hearts are open to him, and as they listen, the Holy Spirit unfolds to them something of the meaning of that lesson which humanity in all ages so needs to learn. In the days of Christ, the religious leaders of the people felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. The spirit of the Pharisee, "God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men," expressed the feeling of his class and to a great degree of the whole nation. But in the throng that surrounded Jesus, there were some who had a sense of their spiritual poverty. When in the miraculous draught of fishes the divine power of Christ was revealed, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." So in the multitude gathered upon the mount, there were souls who, in the presence of his purity, felt that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They longed for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, and they had turned with scorn from the gracious gift. He who feels whole, who thinks that he is reasonably good and is contented with his condition, does not seek to become a partaker of the grace and righteousness of Christ. Pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. There is no room for Jesus in the heart of such a person. Those who are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. Those who know that they cannot possibly save themselves or of themselves do any righteous action are the ones who appreciate the help that Christ can bestow. They are the poor in spirit whom he declares to be blessed. Whom Christ pardons, he first makes penitent, and it is the office of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin. Those whose hearts have been moved by the convicting Spirit of God see that there is nothing good in themselves. They see that all they have ever done is mingled with self and sin. Like the poor publican, they stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven and cry, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And they are blessed. There is forgiveness for the penitent, for Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God's promise is, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and I will put my spirit within you." Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not, as Christ's hearers had hoped, a temporal and earthly dominion. Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. The ensign of the Messiah's reign is distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. His subjects are the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Though not yet fully accomplished, the work is begun in them which will make them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All who have a sense of their deep soul poverty, who feel that they have nothing good in themselves, may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He bids you exchange your poverty for the riches of his grace. We are not worthy of God's love, but Christ our surety is worthy and is abundantly able to save all who shall come unto him. Whatever may have been your past experience, however discouraging your present circumstances, if you will come to Jesus just as you are, weak, helpless, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet you a great way off and will throw about you his arms of love and his robe of righteousness. He presents us to the Father clothed in the white raiment of his own character. He pleads before God in our behalf, saying, "I have taken the sinner's place. Look not upon this wayward child, but look on me." Does Satan plead loudly against our souls, accusing of sin and claiming us as his prey? The blood of Christ pleads with greater power. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The mourning here brought to view is true heart sorrow for sin. Jesus says, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. And as one is drawn to behold Jesus uplifted on the cross, he discerns the sinfulness of humanity. He sees that it is sin which scourged and crucified the Lord of glory. He sees that while he has been loved with unspeakable tenderness, his life has been a continual scene of ingratitude and rebellion. He has forsaken his best friend and abused heaven's most precious gift. He has crucified to himself the Son of God afresh and pierced anew that bleeding and stricken heart. He is separated from God by a gulf of sin that is broad and black and deep, and he mourns in brokenness of heart. Such mourning shall be comforted. God reveals to us our guilt that we may flee to Christ and through him be set free from the bondage of sin and rejoice in the liberty of the sons of God. In true contrition we may come to the foot of the cross and there leave our burdens. The Savior's words have a message of comfort to those who are suffering affliction or bereavement. Our sorrows do not spring out of the ground. God doth not willingly afflict nor grieve the children of man. When he permits trials and afflictions, it is for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. If received in faith, a trial that seems so bitter and hard to bear will prove a blessing. The cruel blow that blights the joys of earth will be the means of turning our eyes to heaven. How many there are who would never have known Jesus had not sorrow led them to seek comfort in him. The trials of life are God's workmen to remove the impurities and roughness from our character. Their hewing, squaring, and chiseling, their burnishing and polishing is a painful process. It is hard to be pressed down to the grinding wheel, but the stone is brought forth prepared to fill its place in the heavenly temple. Upon no useless material does the Master bestow such careful, thorough work. Only his precious stones are polished after the similitude of a palace. The Lord will work for all who put their trust in him. Precious victories will be gained by the faithful. Precious lessons will be learned. Precious experiences will be realized. Our Heavenly Father is never unmindful of those whom sorrow has touched. When David went up the Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered and he went barefoot, the Lord was looking pityingly upon him. David was clothed in sackcloth and his conscience was scourging him. The outward signs of humiliation testified of his contrition. In tearful, heartbroken utterances, he presented his case to God, and the Lord did not forsake his servant. Never was David nearer to the heart of infinite love than when, conscience smitten, he fled for his life from his enemies, who had been stirred to rebellion by his own son. The Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Christ lifts up the contrite heart and refines the mourning soul until it becomes his abode. But when tribulation comes upon us, how many of us are like Jacob? We think it the hand of an enemy, and in the darkness we wrestle blindly until our strength is spent and we find no comfort or deliverance. To Jacob, the divine touch at break of day revealed the one with whom he had been contending, the angel of the covenant. And weeping and helpless, he fell upon the breast of infinite love to receive the blessing for which his soul longed. We also need to learn that trials mean benefit, and not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when we are rebuked of him. Happy is the man that God correcteth. He maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. To every stricken one, Jesus comes with the ministry of healing. The life of bereavement, pain, and suffering may be brightened by precious revealings of His presence. God would not have us remain pressed down by dumb sorrow with sore and breaking hearts. He would have us look up and behold His dear face of love. The blessed Savior stands by many whose eyes are so blinded by tears they do not discern Him. He longs to clasp our hands, to have us look to Him in simple faith, permitting Him to guide us. His heart is open to our griefs, our sorrows, and our trials. He has loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness compassed us about. We may keep the heart stayed upon Him and meditate upon His loving kindness all the day. He will lift the soul above the daily sorrow and perplexity into a realm of peace. Think of this, children of suffering and sorrow, and rejoice in hope. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The ills we see, the mysteries of sorrow deep and long, the dark enigmas of permitted wrong, have all one key. This strange, sad world is but our Father's school. All chance and change His love shall overrule. What though today thou canst not trace at all the hidden reason for His strange dealings through the trial season, trust and obey. In afterlife and light all shall be plain and clear. Blessed are they also who weep with Jesus in sympathy with the world's sorrow and in sorrow for its sin. In such mourning there is intermingled no thought of self. Jesus was the man of sorrows, enduring heart anguish such as no language can portray. His spirit was torn and bruised by the transgressions of men. He toiled with self-consuming zeal to relieve the wants and woes of humanity, and His heart was heavy with sorrow as He saw multitudes refuse to come to Him that they might have life. All who are followers of Christ will share in this experience. As they partake of His love, they will enter into His travail for the saving of the lost. They share in the sufferings of Christ, and they will share also in the glory that shall be revealed. One with Him in His work, drinking with Him the cup of sorrow, they are partakers also of His joy. It was through suffering that Jesus obtained the ministry of consolation. In all the affliction of humanity, He was afflicted. And in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. In this ministry, every soul that has entered into the fellowship of His sufferings is privileged to share. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The Lord has special grace for the mourner, and its power is to melt hearts, to win souls. His love opens a channel into the wounded and bruised soul and becomes a healing balsam to those who sorrow. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Blessed are the meek. Throughout the Beatitudes there is an advancing line of Christian experience. Those who have felt their need of Christ, those who have mourned because of sin and have sat with Christ in the school of affliction, will learn meekness from the divine teacher. Patience and gentleness under wrong were not characteristics prized by the heathen or by the Jews. The statement made by Moses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he was the meekest man upon the earth would not have been regarded by the people of his time as a commendation. It would rather have excited pity or contempt. But Jesus places meekness among the first qualifications for his kingdom. In his own life and character, the divine beauty of this precious grace is revealed. Jesus, the brightness of the Father's glory, thought it not a thing to be grasped to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Through all the lowly experiences of life, he consented to pass, walking among the children of men, not as a king to demand homage, but as one whose mission it was to serve others. There was in his manner no taint of bigotry, no cold austerity. The world's Redeemer had a greater than angelic nature, yet united with his divine majesty were meekness and humility that attracted all to himself. Jesus emptied himself, and in all that he did, self did not appear. He subordinated all things to the will of his Father. When his mission on earth was about to close, he could say, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And he bids us, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let self be dethroned and no longer hold the supremacy of the soul." He who beholds Christ in his self-denial, his lowliness of heart, will be constrained to say, as did Daniel when he beheld one like the sons of men, "My comeliness was turned in me into corruption." The independence and self-supremacy in which we glory are seen in their true vileness as tokens of servitude to Satan. Human nature is ever struggling for expression, ready for contest. But he who learns of Christ is emptied of self, of pride, of love of supremacy, and there is silence in the soul. Self is yielded to the disposal of the Holy Spirit. Then we are not anxious to have the highest place. We have no ambition to crowd and elbow ourselves into notice, but we feel that our highest place is at the feet of our Savior. We look to Jesus, waiting for his hand to lead, listening for his voice to guide. The Apostle Paul had this experience, and he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." When we receive Christ as an abiding guest in the soul, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Savior's life on earth, though lived in the midst of conflict, was a life of peace. When angry enemies were constantly pursuing him, he said, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." No storm of human or satanic wrath could disturb the calm of that perfect communion with God. And he says to us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Bear with me the yoke of service for the glory of God in the uplifting of humanity, and you will find the yoke easy and the burden light." It is the love of self that destroys our peace. While self is all alive, we stand ready continually to guard it from mortification and insult. But when we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God, we shall not take neglects or slights to heart. We shall be deaf to reproach and blind to scorn and insult. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh no account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. Happiness drawn from earthly sources is as changeable as varying circumstances can make it. But the peace of Christ is a constant and abiding peace. It does not depend upon any circumstances in life, on the amount of worldly goods or the number of earthly friends. Christ is the fountain of living water, and happiness drawn from him can never fail. The meekness of Christ manifested in the home will make the inmates happy. It provokes no quarrel. It gives back no angry answer, but soothes the irritated temper and diffuses a gentleness that is felt by all within its charmed circle. Wherever cherished, it makes the families of earth a part of the one great family above. Far better would it be for us to suffer under false accusation than to inflict upon ourselves the torture of retaliation upon our enemies. The spirit of hatred and revenge originated with Satan and can bring only evil to him who cherishes it. Lowliness of heart, that meekness which is the fruit of abiding in Christ, is the true secret of blessing. He will...
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. Just want to welcome you this evening. May we have a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, I thank you ever so much for this Sabbath day of rest that you have given us, Lord. You say 6 days that we should do all our labor, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and it we shall not do any work. Oh, Father, we come before you, giving you praise, honor, worshiping you in spirit and in truth, oh, Father, thanking you for keeping us, thanking you for providing for us, thanking you for health and strength, Lord, thanking you, Father, in all things, good and bad, oh, Father, you said, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called to his purpose. And we ask, oh, Father, that you will strengthen us. We ask that you will be in the midst of us as we come together. May this worship be a sweet incense going up to you, oh, Father. May you accept it, oh, Father. Please forgive us of our sins, our iniquity, our trespasses, oh, Father. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. Help us, strengthen us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with honor and thanksgiving. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 said, "For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is amongst you, not to think of himself more highly then he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." So we are not to think highly. We're not to esteem ourselves highly, but we are to esteem God. We are to put God before ourselves, before our thoughts, because we are the reason that we are, he is the reason, I'm sorry, that we are here. We're not here on our own behalf, but we're here to represent him. So let us, worship God. Let us praise him and let us esteem him better than ourselves, brothers and sisters. Again, I just want to say happy Sabbath. And I will read from the devotion, Amazing Grace. It said, "To every minister the Lord declare, O son of man, I have set thee as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt bear the word of my mouth and warn men for me." Ezekiel 33, verse 7 through 9. "These words of the prophet declare the solemn responsibility resting upon those who are appointed as guardian of the church, steward of the mystery of God. It is the privilege of the watchman on the wall of Zion to live so near to God as to be so susceptible to the impression of his spirit, that he can work through them to tell sinners of their perils and point them to the place of safety. The heart of the true minister is filled with an intense longing to save souls. He watches for soul as one that must give an account. With his eyes fixed on the cross of Calvary, beholding an uplifted Savior, relying on his grace, believing that he will be with him until the end, as his shield, his strength, his efficiency, he works for God with invitation and pleading. Mingle with the assurance of God's love. He seeks to win souls for Jesus. And in heaven, he is numbered amongst those who are called and chosen and faithful. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we ought to be also, or we should desire to be amongst those which are called, chosen, and faithful. So we are here to win souls for Christ. We are here to go to the lost, to go to the sinner, and present to them a risen Savior. And we know that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So we ought to lift up Jesus in all we do, all we say, in our dress, in our diet, everything we do. It should be lifting up Jesus. Amen. So please press 1 so that I can open your line so that you can share your testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, or your something from your devotional thoughts. So again, please press 1, and I will open your line. I just want to say happy Sabbath to each and every one of you, and those that are listening via the internet. I just want to welcome you also, and blessed Sabbath to you too. I'll go ahead and open the line for 518-951. Your line is now open.
Okay. Thank you, my dear beloved sister, Carlo, and daughter, Sister Carlo.
Amen.
Thank you for opening my line, and happy Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, this is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. First, I must say to you, I thank God for this blessed Sabbath day, and we are actually freezing up here. It's very, very cold. But you know what? God is good. He promised that he will take care of his children. And a while ago, I heard from one of my church sisters who we traveled together to church. And she told me that she came down with a cold, so she won't be going in church tomorrow. And that was my intention to my dear brother sister, because I said it was so cold, I did not want to go out. So my sister is the Sister Mobley. So I'm going to lift her up in prayer and asking you all to remember her in prayer. She's really a faithful servant for the Lord, brothers and sisters. As a older person, senior person, you know, God has been using her. And she really, you know, she's also a widow like myself. And she really loves the Lord, so let us lift her up in prayer. But I must say, my dear brothers and sisters, the line, Sister Carla just read the devotion talk about the watchman. You know, we all should be watchmen for the Lord. We all should be there, you know, to look upon where the Lord is right now in the most holy sanctuary, and see a holy God, a holy Father, a holy King is there. And as he demonstrated his life, and he shows us in his word how we, Sister Powell, should be a watchman, should be there as God, as his representative, as his ambassador, as his servant, to go out there to seek souls out there who are dying in sin. And brothers and sisters, we read all these wonderful promises that the Lord said, with faithful people will be coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west, all over the world, his jewels. We will receive his jewels from all the world. We may not be able to go all over the world, brothers and sisters, watchmen, but, you know, we can go on our knees. We can talk to the Lord in prayer for about our intercessory prayer for our brothers and sisters. We are in our neighborhood. We are in our country that we live. Our country, a lot of us live from, we come from foreign lands, you know, highlands around, and we came into this wonderful country, the breadbasket for the world. And God have been blessing us. We can be watchmen to those who we leave back home, you know, because, you know, we know them, and we, God want us to love, God want us to help. My dear beloved brothers and sisters, I saw that we here as the Christ children, as a watchman, maybe saying it's only we alone doing the work that the Lord wants us to do. But you know what? I saw a lot of people there, not a Seventh-day Adventist, not a Baptist, not that, but they are out there doing the work by helping and feeding and doing some things out there, building home for the needy and all these things they are doing. And, you know, God have been talking to those people, not because they do not get the message yet, but God told us that he has his people out there in every corner, that one day, soon and very soon, they will be getting the message. And who will be teaching if we don't go, you know, to show them or give them a book? The Holy Spirit, the angel, is going to be there to teach them, and they will come. And if it is possible, and the word said they will take our place. So, brothers and sisters on this land, let us be faithful, you know, and let us remember what God said. I will be with you till the end if we be faithful. And he wants our heart and wants us to surrender it fully. So I am so thankful that, you know what, I have a family, my Advent family. And, you know, we are growing, despite we may say we are small in number when we came on the line or visit, you know, or listening. We may say just a few of us, but if a few of us is so faithful to come and to give praises and to do what the Lord wants us to do by sharing and telling the good news of salvation to everyone who we come to, I know there will be a reward for us. So let us be faithful, my dear beloved brothers and sisters on this land. And I will just offer a little word of prayer. I thank God for this Sabbath, you know, a preparation day today, and it's gone, actually gone down to in history. And a little bit more, I think I overstepped it, because when I look and I said, oh, I did not finish yet. You know, but thank God that he allows me to finish. I know I go over a little, you know, and I ask forgiveness, brothers and sisters, because, you know, I like to finish my thing before, hours before the sunset, you know. But God, he understands, and I know God is able to do all things. So let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this blessed Sabbath evening to give you thanks and praise for your words, Lord, your promises, your love, your tender mercies, your long-suffering, your patience, Lord, with us, Lord. And Father, help us that we will be patient, just as though you're patient. We'll be kind, we will be loving, we'll have compassion for each one, because Father, I am so grateful to know that you have placed us here together, dear Lord. I remember sometimes, Lord, when with Sister Carla, Sister Nehobi, and all those young people amongst their sister, grandmother Powell here, Lord, and I just remember the love and the compassion and the caring what they do, dear Lord. I was coming down one day off of our hill, and they were one on the right-hand side, one on the left-hand side, was holding my hand coming down off the hill that I could come on the level, Lord. All those things was love with my grandchildren, and dear Father. So I just want to thank you, Lord. I saw what you have done for us, dear Lord, on this line, Advent Light, dear Lord. I remember, dear Lord, my dear beloved daughter, Sister Carla, dear Father, and she go into that car, and when she drive, dear Father, and we drive us going to our camp meeting, we missed the direction one of the time, and when we reach, we say, oh Lord, I wonder if we are going to late before the program, and you carry us, Lord. It was a winding road, but you carry us off safely, Lord, and we were there. Lord, how we chose, you took care of me, Lord, and took care of the people, Lord, so many people we have, Lord. And Lord, we just know, I just know, dear Father, I saw your presence. And I want to thank you for the growth that you have allowed us to grow in you, grow in your word, because, dear Lord, there were some studies, Lord Jesus, that we did not know about, Lord, and you have opened our eyes, and we want to thank you. Father, this Sabbath evening, we come to you on behalf of all of my brothers and sisters of this land. Sister Carla, Lord, Nicholas, Lord, her son, and Amanda, continue to bless them, keep them as young people. I remember Nicholas, he was so handy, helpful, Lord, and so calm and quiet, Lord, helping when we ask him to do something, never frown, Lord Jesus. Father, continue to strengthen him as those young people and draw them to you, dear Lord. Father, I'm asking you at this time, dear Lord, life come up, Lord Jesus, sister house, and Lord, as a mother, dear Father, she was dear Father, with us, brother house, presenting the message, Lord, as young people, dear Father, though brother Jensen, dear Father, there's a few young men, brother Kofi, not Kofi, the other one, I don't remember his name, Kwaku, you know, and also those young boys that came up and was on fire, Lord, preaching your word, dear Father, brother Pastor Jones, dear Lord. Lord, we have demonstration, dear Father, with all different plants. We have Heaven, we have Carpenter come, Lord Jesus, have built a little home, show us, Lord, how to build, Lord, construction, brother Elder Rick, Lord Jesus, was here doing all these things, Father. What a blessing you have given unto us so that we can meet so many brothers and sisters, Lord, and we are still holding on. Father, pour out your blessings upon each one of us, dear Lord. There are so many names, Sister Leola and Brother Ray. Dear Father, Sister Leola, driving, Lord, and she drives. She loved the driving, Lord Jesus, and you are full protector on the road. Father, you are so great, Lord. We lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John, our first fruit, not the first fruit. Lord, Sister Teresa was the first baptized from Advent Light in Louisiana, from Louisiana. Our first baptism was Sister Teresa from Louisiana, Lord. Continue to keep her wherever she is, Lord. Draw her to you and help her to remember those nights and with those studies, Lord. We lift up our dear brother Louis, Lord, brother and sister Brenda and brother John, dear Father, what you have done in their life, that's also a blessing, Lord, to us. We lift up our young one, the youth, dear Father, brother Eli, Lord, once was not talking as plain as he is now. Now, Lord Jesus, you give him wisdom, and he is presenting, always presenting all these names, Joari, Javel, Jermais, Papasiana, and all those, Lord, each and every one of us on this line. He know every name. So we lift him up and lift up his mother, Rose, there, and his family in Haiti. We lift them up to you, Lord. We lift up Brother Yudi as the leader. Dear Lord, we ask you to strengthen him. Dear Father and Melissa, we have wedding, Lord. You know, there were three weddings, Lord. Father, you are so good. You are so great, both young and old, Lord. You are so good. Wonderful settings, dear Father. Lord, you are so good. You are so great. Lord, though, dear Father, we lift up Brother Rick, dear Lord, and sister, and his wife, and his church, Lord, Queensberry Church, wonderful church. The people are so loving and kind. And Lord, everyone was there willing to help their father. You are so good. We lift up the school, dear Lord, and also the country, dear Father. Allow those people that they will draw close to you and to know the Sabbath, that they can have a closer relationship with the Sabbath and be obedient to your Sabbath. We lift up our dear brother O'Neill as a young woman born. Continue to bless him, keep him, Lord. You are so good to him. He is on the battlefield, and I know he is ready to be on the battlefield Sunday to go out to distribute those tracts and books, Lord. You are so good, Lord. We also lift up to you, dear Father, the brother, Sister Naomi from Florida, Lord, and also Brother Jensini from Florida, Sister Rose from Florida, the Michelle's them in Florida, Sister Rose from Florida, all the Florida team. Father, draw them back to you, Lord. Allow them to come back on the line, Lord. Those young people, come and sing and testify and read the scripture and present their message, Lord. Bring them back, Lord Jesus. We are calling on you to touch each heart that they will come back, dear Father. We also, dear Father, lift up all our young people and all the other names, Sister Karen, Lord, on the battlefield. Lord, draw everyone back to us, dear, back to you, and that they can come to testify and give you the glory. What more could we ask? There are so many names, Bernard, Brother Bernard, Mozart, the Richardson family from Rhode Island, then to Texas, Lord, Tennessee, Texas and Tennessee, and all the people all around Carolina. That young Christy, that little young boy, used to come on the line and sing and pray for his grandmother, Christian. Lord, we lift them up to you. Sister Adele in Washington, D.C., Lord, we lift Maryland. We lift her up to you, dear Lord. Sister Teresa, Lord, we used to be running and calling for prayer. We lift her up to you. And dear Lord, what more could we ask? Sister Continelli, we lift up Sister Continelli for you today. Strengthen her, Lord, and Brother Sammy, our brother, as she's going through now. We know it's not easy to know that you have a sister in the hospital and also a niece in the hospital and also a brother in the nursing home. Father God, we ask you to strengthen this family and allow your light to shine, dear God, and your power, Lord, that the niece, dear Lord, will be able to get a touch from you. We leave her in your care. Bless us tonight, we pray, and also the speaker. Bless the speaker and allow your message to go clearly, firmly, freely, so that we will all, dear Father, enjoy your word this better Sabbath day and to give you praise and to bring honor to you. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And if those are any other name I leave out, you know them, dear Lord. Hear our cry and answer our plea, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Sister Katie, I lift her up on her grandchildren, them, and her son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla.
Thank you, Sister Powell, for the prayer. And thank you for mentioning every name, those that have joined us in the past and those that are still with us. May the Lord, you know, bless them and touch them, that they will continue to stay steadfast, to stay in the word and to stay grounded in the truth. Amen. I'll go to the next caller. Again, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. 518-482. Your line is now open.
Okay. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, Sister
Katrina. One and all, happy Sabbath to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am happy, so happy to be here this evening. I should not have been here, but I'm here because of God's goodness towards me, his mercies and his blessings on me. This is Sister Constantine from upstate New York. And this evening, I just want to give God praise and thanks for this. It wasn't too stressful for me in particular, but my brother was stressed out. He was so stressed out that he came here crying. I had to console him. I said, just let it out, boy. Let it out. Don't keep it in. I know you're stressed every day. He's on the phone trying to reach somebody to find out how his sister is. And he come crying and say, oh, my sister cannot, she cannot talk, she cannot say anything. She's not seeing the people she's accustomed to seeing. I said, cool it down, be quiet, be, put it in God's hand. You can't be fretting like this. It's not good for you to be so stressful, you know, because if you give it to the Lord, let him, he is going to work it out. Well, I have to say that so far, she is there, she's still alive, she's on the machine, and we got them both into the same facility. We got her by calling. We called the social worker, and she got. We called the ambulance, and we got her into a facility. So she's not home there with the kids, because the kids really cannot look at her. They have to feed her and all these types of things. So that is what we got through with this week. It was stressful for my brother because he had to do all the calling, right? But God is good, and I'm here this evening to tell of God's goodness and his mercy towards me. I would like to read about God's goodness, right? But I see the frailty of man today. It was brought to me more vivid this week when I heard about my... It's 2 weeks I've gone since she's under the machine, you know, 2 weeks she's lying there. You could see the frailty of man. I was brought in reality with how frail we are. It says, I'm the eternity of God and man's frailty. I want to read the Psalm, Psalms 90, a part of it. I'm not going to read the whole Psalms. It said, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood till they are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes. And grow it up, and in the evening it is cut down and wither. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath are we terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away. In your wrath we finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 8 years, yet they boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who know the power of your anger? For the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us the number of our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I will stop right there. And I would like to just... I like singing, right? So I sing a lot. And when I don't sing, I play music. I have nice music so that I could play and be comforted. And that is what I was comforting myself with this entire week, because it was stressful. I said not for me, because I didn't worry too much. You know, when he came, he made me cry, because I don't like to see people crying. It tears me apart. I would cry if people come and cry around me. And so I said, just let it out, boy. Let it out. Let it go. And just give God the praise and thanks that we are here to support them, right? And the next thing, while he was sitting down here, he given me the report, and he was so overwhelmed with grief. I said, listen, we got a phone call from the county. Your brother just fell down. I was laughing. I said, I mean, this is jokes. He just fell down, but he have a little hit on his head. He may be on the wall or wherever he hit his head. the furniture in the room or something. He fell and hit his head a little, but they said it's not bad. I said, okay, let's go. So I'm telling you, this week was just off the wall for him. But right now they are all safe, and she is in a good position, they say, but she's not talking. I don't know to what extent her brain is being damaged. But the pastor went in there this afternoon. I just giving you all a rundown. The pastor went in there this afternoon, and he called her and he prayed for her, and she said, ask if she's hearing, and she said, well, squeeze my hands, and she squeezed his hands. He said, squeeze my hands twice, and she squeezed his hands three times. So that showed that she was hearing. And the lady with whom she, where she lives, where she was staying with, she is her PO. So she went in and spoke comforting words. So your children are comfortable, and we are taking care of them. You know, try to give her some words of encouragement from the Bible and so on. And so there is where she is. She's lying there, all in the hands of God. So what we are doing, I am keeping looking up. I'm going to sing this song, Keep Looking Up. It means it's not for myself alone, but for all of us on this line who have troubles and trials and temptations. All day, different people, different things. Everybody have different, you know, problems. So this song is my song to give us all some hope and some comfort. So I'll sing this song, Keep Looking Up. He says, I can give you the background of this song. This song was just being called overseas. This man, Virgil Brooks, he was called overseas to face the dark and dangerous days of war. Then the hearts of the family were heavy. Shortly after, the father of his soldiers noticed a motto on the wall on his minister's study. It read, keep looking up. It was like a message from heaven. Returning home, he and his wife wrote this lovely gospel song, Keep Looking Up. So I'm going to sing this song for us. I hope that it will bring comfort to somebody's heart, because it brought comfort to my heart this week. Life has its joys and sorrows too. Sometimes the mist will hide our view. If we would hope and spare you, there's just one thing to do. Keep looking up. Thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail you, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will pass away. So do not fear, but keep on looking up. When darkness clouds have filled your sky, and faithful friends have passed you by, when prone to doubt or reason why, there's just one thing to do. Keep looking up. Thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. The darkest clouds may pass away. So do not fear. Keep on looking up. So when your faith is sorely tried, and earnest prayers have been denied, when ere you need a faithful guide, there's just one thing to do. Keep looking up. My God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail you, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest may pass away. So do not fear, but keep on looking up. And that's my little comfort to all of us who are going through trials, that on this beautiful, on these beautiful Sabbath hours, whatever confronts us, whatever we are confronted with, let us don't look around us. Let us keep looking up. Happy Sabbath to one and all on this line, and God bless you all. Amen. Thanks, Sister Carla, for opening my line.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Santinelli. Amen. Thank you for the song, Keep Looking Up, and that's an encouragement to me. And I pray that all my brothers and sisters are being was encouraged with the song, Keep Looking Up. And we have to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and keep our eyes upon the cross. Well, I'm sorry, keep our eyes upon the Lord, because he's off the cross. So we have to keep our eyes upon him, because he's soon to come. And he is in the most heavenly sanctuary, finishing the work, and he's soon to stand up. And that's when, you know, he that is filthy will stay filthy, and he that is holy will stay holy still. So we have to keep looking up and keep looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. Again, thank you, Sister Consonelli, and I know Sister Powell, pray for your family, and we will continue to keep them in our personal prayer also, and pray that God will be done, and that you will be blessed and encouraged no matter what. We know the Lord is soon to come. And I will go to the next caller again. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening. 225-337. I believe this is Sister Leola. Your line is now open.
Yes, good evening, my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I just want to thank the Lord for blessing us here tonight on the prayer line and blessing each and one of my sisters and brothers for sharing. And I would like to read Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through verses 21, and it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus,' because he had anointed Jesus to preach the gospel to the poor, and that he sent to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recover of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him," on Jesus. "And he began to say unto them, 'This day is the scripture is fulfilled in your ears.'" And I was going to stop. Oh, I was going to read this last one. "And all bear him witness and wonder at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?'" And as I was reading that and listening to Sister Powell praying for all of us, especially I want to say Brother O'Neill and all those that going down to share the gospel in Washington, I just want to say thank God, and I want to just lift up a prayer for them and for Sister Consonelli, sister, her brother, her family. You know, it's so touching when she come on just to share her testimony and the things that, you know, that she encounter in life, especially with family members. I just want to praise God just to hear her testimony. So, and also I would like to sing the beginning of this song, just the first, and I want to like to share a short prayer, and it's "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And this song is such a blessing to all of us, because when I hear that my brothers and sisters go out and share the gospel, and that's something that I've always had in my heart to do, share the gospel. And my prayer, it's been long ago that my brothers and sisters can come here in Louisiana, and that we can go out in the streets, in the highways, byways, to share to those that need it. Amen. So, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you once again. Father, as my sisters, as the testimony, as all these things are being said on this prayer line, Father, we pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to fall upon us tonight and to hear the prayers of your children. Heavenly Father, as I offer the prayer for the ministry that will be going out in Washington, I lift them up before you. I'm asking that you send your host of holy angels down to assist them, Father, to lead and guide them, and especially to touch the heart of that special someone that is ready to receive you. Oh, Father, I'm asking you to bless that whole group, Father. Give them wisdom, give them understanding, and that they may go out with the power and with eager, Lord, to do your will. And Father, I also lift up Sister Constantinelli, her brother, her sister, lift up her and her family, Father. As Sister Powell have lifted them up, Lord, I'm lifting them up too, Father, to touch her sister, Lord, to let her sister know that you said that you would be with us always and that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Heavenly Father, give her understanding that the love that you laid down at the cross, Lord, that love will be with us until the end. So, Father, we thank you tonight. We pray for Sister Carla. We lift up Sister Carla and the host that she's doing tonight, Father. We lift up Brother Udy, Father, his children, his family. Oh, Father, we lift up his ministry, Father, asking that you would lead and guide them, Lord. Help them, Father, and that they may make the choices, Lord, according to your will, Lord, Father. Allow him to see, Father, that perfect will that you have for him, Father, because we do know, Lord, and while we are running the company, Father, he need help. He needs you to lead and guide him, Father, to help him to make that right decision at the right time and that he can be blessed, Father. Oh, thank you, Father, because I see that the store is doing so well. So continue to bless it and strengthen them and lead and guide and protect them also, Father. And also be with him as he come on to spread the gospel, the word tonight, Father. Be with each and every brothers and sisters tonight as we give our testimonies and singing songs. And, Father, I want to thank you for blessing my husband, my daughter, my family. And, Lord, continue to be with Jarvis out there on that in that cold, Father. I'm asking that you give him some wisdom, Lord. Give him, humble him. And that he can come from out there, Father. Oh, I thank you, Father. And, Lord, I still pray for my grandchildren that are in Oklahoma and also lifting up Mari up to you, Father. Lord, I lift up Sister Power, always giving prayers for each and every one of us. Thank you, Father. Bless she and her children. And, Father, we also lift up Brother O'Neill and all other brothers and sisters. I heard Sister Power pray for Sister Katie. Oh, Father, all these prayers that she have lifted up, Father, we second those prayers that each and every one that has been on this prayer line. My sister Brenda, Lord, I can't begin to speak each name, but Lord, you heard the prayer. So we thank you tonight for all this and blessing in your son, Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carl, for opening my line. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for the prayer. And thank you. We will continue to keep you and your family in prayer, and especially Jarvis, as you said, as he's out there on the street, and, you know, God has a better place for him, but he has to be willing and he has to accept what God has for him, and there's some changes that needs to be made. Even in our lives, some changes needs to be made as we grow closer and closer to the Lord, and as we come up higher, we need to make some changes and ask God to help us. Amen. Thank you again, Sister Leola, even for the song. It's a blessing. I will go to the next caller. The number is 985-232. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. Just want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up. Happy Sabbath. I would like to read a devotion prayer. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of the psalm and for the reminder to always give you our thanks and praise. May we never take your gift for granted. Amen. Thank God for his praises and his gift. And we just want to thank him for his mercy that he gave, he laid on us for guiding us and giving us his gifts that we can go through the week over and the days and forever, his gift of love and his book. And we just want to thank God, and I want to give Sister Consignetto my condolences and pray for her family and all those families that are in Berea. And we want to pray for the sick, the homeless, and all those under the bridges and wherever they may be confined in this type of weather or in COVID or whatever. May the Lord give them peace and bring them through it, because only God can do it, nobody else. And he will bring them through it. Trust in him and call his name, and he will help you. And I just want to thank God for all our help on this prayer line. Bless them with the all the upcoming event, all the event they got going on. Bless them with all the missions. Bless the speaker. Bless all our brothers and sisters on and off the prayer line. Bless each and every one throughout whatever they're going through. We just need the Lord, sun up and sun down. Because there's no way out. We got a lot we facing, and we don't know where the end gonna land. So we need the Lord, and we just need to count on him for all we facing, and forget what's out there. Just trust in the Lord and take it one day at a time. So I just thank him. So I'm gonna give it to Brother John. And action for all our forgiveness of all our iniquity and sins. Amen.
This is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. Just want to say, may God watch over you and take care of you. And I just want to say that I've been really, really learning more and more about the Bible. But the same ways of God, and I just been be like surprising me. I'd be just, I don't know, bewildered, you know, in a good way. So just so much to learn, so much I've been learning in the Bible. It teaches so much, and you can never stop growing. the more you learn, it's like the more you grow, the more you read, the more you grow. Open up my eyes to so many things. It'd be just surprising me, like, wow, you know. Wish I would have been reading this Bible years ago, but I didn't know back then, you know. I didn't know what I was missing out on. But anyway, now that I know, it's going to continue keeping on and sharing and keeping the hope, the faith. And because without faith, is hope is all gone without faith. So I'll always keep the faith. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda. And thank you for Brother John for joining us. Yes, may the Lord richly bless you and your family also as we draw closer to the Lord and as we seek him daily for wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Amen. Amen. I have two more individuals that has pressed one. Again, please press one if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading. You have a song of encouragement. So this is the time for sharing, brothers and sisters. So please press one so I don't miss anyone, because about 8:30 we will transition and we want to be on time for that. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open the line for 857-505. Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, Sister Carla. Happy Sabbath to all of you. My name is Brother Eli. I'd like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, because he is good. He is truly worthy to be praised, Sister Carla. I have a prayer request, Sister Carla. My prayer request is to pray for my mother. Live for my mother in prayer, because my mother needs a lot of prayer. And Sister Carla, please live for our dear. Pray for my mom. Pray for Brother Jahari. Live for Brother Jahari in prayer, because Brother Jahari needs a lot of prayer. Pray for his family. Pray for Brother Jamal. Don't forget to pray for Anthony too, Sister Carla. Anthony's my cousin, so live for my cousin in prayer. Pray for Brother Javel. And don't forget to pray for our dear sister. Pray for our dear Sister Shamika, Sister Carla, because Sister Shamika needs a lot of prayer. Don't forget to pray for Sister Shamika's family. Pray for her sisters. Pray for Shamika's brothers. Lift them up in prayer. And I'm praying for Sister Tamiko on the line too. Sister Tamiko, may God continue to bless Sister Tamiko on the prayer line. May God continue to bless her with her ministry. May God continue to guide her. May God continue to touch her heart. When I sing that song, Sister Carla, God will touch her heart. God will deliver her at this moment. God will deliver Sister Tamiko, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, what matter what Sister Tamiko is going through? There is a God who will watch over her. There is a mighty God. There is a mighty God, Sister Carla. Today's the day how the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day how the Lord has made, Sister Tamiko. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. God is good, Sister Tamiko. God is awesome. Sister Carla, please pray for Sister Shamika, because she needs a lot of prayer at the moment. But I want to sing a special song right now. Praise to the Lord, mighty creation. Praise to the Lord, mighty creation. Thanks, Sister Carla. Praise to the Lord, mighty creation. Praise to the Lord, mighty creation. Praise to the Lord, mighty. Praise service. Praise to the Lord Almighty. Creation wonder, creation, praise to the Lord, mighty earth, praise to the Amen, amen. Sister Kala, may God bless you all on the prayer line. May God bless Sister Power on this prayer line. May God come bless Sister Tamiko on this prayer line. Because Sister Tamiko, God have a plan for you. God have a plan for your daughter-in-law. God have a plan for your son at this moment. Because today is the day how the Lord has made Sister Tamiko. Oh, let us rejoice. And be glad in it, Sister Tamiko. This one is for Brother Taiwan. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? Because God is good, Sister Tamiko. God will change his life. God will change his heart. God will make him to be Seventh-day Adventist. God will baptize him in the name of Jesus. God will say yes. Taiwan, you have to baptize in the name of Jesus. You have to baptize in the water. You have to baptize in the water, KDN. You have to baptize in the water, Brother Taiwan, because God is good. God is a marvelous God. God is awesome. God, he's worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Eli, for that song, and thank you for the prayer. Yes, praise the Lord for you also, for you coming on to intercede for your friends and behalf of your family. We pray that your mom will be blessed also and encouraged by you as a faithful servant of God. We thank you again for your presence here, and we thank you for your faithfulness, Brother Eli. Praise the Lord. I will go to the next caller. And brothers and sisters, we know the word of the Lord tell us to be faithful unto him and to be a witness wherever we go and to be a light in a dark place, and we should be the salt of the earth. Amen. So I will open the line now for 272-770. Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath to all of you. This is Simiko from Pennsylvania. And I thank you so much, Brother Eli, for praying for my family and friends. God bless you always and your family. And I would just like to sing a song before we go further. But I just want to give the Lord praise and thanks for all that he has done for me and all that he continues to do for my family. So he's such a blessing. I just magnify his great and holy name. My daughter was in a car accident, and the Lord has saved her life. So I'm so grateful. And she was hit by the car, a drunken driver hit her, and she doesn't have one bone broken in her body. So that's just a miracle to me. I just say hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for sparing her life and sending her guardian angels to surround her and protect her from this horrible car accident. So I would just like to ask everyone on the prayer line if they can lift up my daughter in prayer. Her name is Keosha. I would be so grateful if you can keep her in prayer. And I thank you all, and I'm prayer also, prayer request for everyone on the prayer line this evening, that everyone be safe and well and covered in the blood of Jesus. And happy Sabbath to all of you. Thank you so much. Amen.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Father, to Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be a wonder I'll transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I give him all the praise and honor and glory because he is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to read a small verse in the Bible, if I may, Psalms 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. And behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul, and the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed and happy Sabbath, everyone, and stay in the precious palm of Jesus' hands. Amen. Love you all. God bless you all. Amen. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Carla. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord for the song and for the scripture reading, Sister Tymeka. Praise the Lord. It's just a timely message. And may the grace of God help us. May He, the Lord, truly be with us. We're nothing without Him. We just need so much of Jesus and less of us and so much of Him. Amen. Okay, I'll just read some. Amen. Okay, I just received a text from Brother Yudi. He wants us to, he has service. He'll be speaking tomorrow, and he just tired and not able to come on the line, so he just wants us to give his regard to each and every one of us, and he just want me to play a message, which I was going to play. And, you know, we know that God is faithful, and, you know, whatever he says and whatever he does, he has, you know, others to bring the word through recording or through, you know, his messenger. So he has many messengers and, you know, different audio verse for us to listen to. So we just thank the Lord for providing. Even before we ask, he has provided for us. And I will play, it's a little lengthy, but I'll play it for 30 minutes because I know I will have to go to sleep. Also, each and every one of us have to keep to the health of law, which is about resting, and so I can be up bright and early to go to church here in Georgia. Amen. So I'll play Happy and Successful Partnership. So I pray that you all will be blessed as we listen to this. Amen. Thank you.
Chapter 16, A Happy, Successful Partnership.
To gain a proper understanding of the marriage relation is the work of a lifetime. Those who marry enter a school from which they are never in this life to be graduated. However carefully and wisely marriage may have been entered into, few couples are completely united when the marriage ceremony is performed. The real union of the two in wedlock is the work of the after years. As life with its burden of perplexity and care meets the newly wedded pair, the romance with which imagination so often invests marriage disappears. Husband and wife learn each other's character as it was impossible to learn it in their previous association. This is a most critical period in their experience. The happiness and usefulness of their whole future life depend upon their taking a right course now. Often they discern in each other unsuspected weaknesses and defects. But the hearts that love has united will discern excellencies also heretofore unknown. Let all seek to discover the excellencies rather than the defects. Often it is our own attitude, the atmosphere that surrounds ourselves, which determines what will be revealed to us in another. Affection may be as clear as crystal and beauteous in its purity, yet it may be shallow because it has not been tested and tried. Make Christ first and last and best in everything. Constantly behold Him, and your love for Him will daily become deeper and stronger as it is submitted to the test of trial. And as your love for Him increases, your love for each other will grow deeper and stronger. Though difficulties, perplexities, and discouragements may arise, let neither husband nor wife harbor the thought that their union is a mistake or a disappointment. Determine to be all that it is possible to be to each other. Continue the early attentions. In every way, encourage each other in fighting the battles of life. Study to advance the happiness of each other. Let there be mutual love, mutual forbearance. Then marriage, instead of being the end of love, will be, as it were, the very beginning of love, the warmth of true friendship, the love that binds heart to heart, is a foretaste of the joys of heaven. All should cultivate patience by practicing patience, by being kind and forbearing. True love may be kept warm in the heart, and qualities will be developed that heaven will approve. Satan is ever ready to take advantage when any matter of variance arises, and by moving upon the objectionable, hereditary traits of character in husband or wife, he will try to cause the alienation of those who have united their interests in a solemn covenant before God. In the marriage vows, they have promised to be as one, the wife covenanting to love and obey her husband, the husband promising to love and cherish his wife. If the law of God is obeyed, the demon of strife will be kept out of the family, and no separation of interest will take place. No alienation of affection will be permitted. Counsel to a strong-willed couple. Neither husband nor wife is to make a plea for rulership. The Lord has laid down the principle that is to guide in this matter. The husband is to cherish his wife as Christ cherishes the church, and the wife is to respect and love her husband. Both are to cultivate the spirit of kindness, being determined never to grieve or injure the other. Do not try to compel each other to do as you wish. You cannot do this and retain each other's love. Manifestations of self-will destroy the peace and happiness of the home. Let not your married life be one of contention. If you do, you will both be unhappy. Be kind in speech and gentle in action, giving up your own wishes. Watch well your words, for they have a powerful influence for good or for ill. Allow no sharpness to come into your voices. Bring into your married life the fragrance of Christ-likeness. Express love in words and deeds. There are many who regard the expression of love as a weakness, and they maintain a reserve that repels others. This spirit checks the current of sympathy. As the social and generous impulses are repressed, they wither, and the heart becomes desolate and cold. We should beware of this error. Love cannot long exist without expression. Let not the heart of one connected with you starve for the want of kindness and sympathy. Let each give love rather than exact it. Cultivate that which is noblest in yourselves, and be quick to recognize the good qualities in each other. The consciousness of being appreciated is a wonderful stimulus and satisfaction. Sympathy and respect encourage the striving after excellence, and love itself increases as it stimulates to nobler aims. The reason there are so many hard-hearted men and women in our world is that true affection has been regarded as weakness and has been discouraged and repressed. The better part of the nature of persons of this class was perverted and dwarfed in childhood. And unless rays of divine light can melt away their coldness and hard-hearted selfishness, the happiness of such is buried forever. If we would have tender hearts, such as Jesus had when he was upon the earth, and sanctified sympathy, such as the angels have for sinful mortals, we must cultivate the sympathies of childhood, which are simplicity itself. Then we shall be refined, elevated, and directed by heavenly principles. Too many cares and burdens are brought into our families, and too little of natural simplicity and peace and happiness is cherished. There should be less care for what the outside world will say, and more thoughtful attention to the members of the family circle. There should be less display and affectation of worldly politeness, and much more tenderness and love, cheerfulness and Christian courtesy among the members of the household. Many need to learn how to make home attractive, a place of enjoyment. Thankful hearts and kind looks are more valuable than wealth and luxury, and contentment with simple things will make home happy if love be there. God tests and proves us by the common occurrences of life. It is the little things which reveal the chapters of the heart. It is the little attentions, the numerous small incidents and simple courtesies of life that make up the sum of life's happiness. And it is the neglect of kindly, encouraging, affectionate words and the little courtesies of life which helps compose the sum of life's wretchedness. It will be found at last that the denial of self for the good and happiness of those around us constitutes a large share of the life record in heaven. And the fact will also be revealed that the care of self, irrespective of the good and happiness of others, is not beneath the notice of our Heavenly Father. A husband who failed to express affection. A house with love in it, where love is expressed in words and looks and deeds, is a place where angels love to manifest their presence and hallow the scene by rays of light from glory. There the humble household duties have a charm in them. None of life's duties will be unpleasant to your wife under such circumstances. She will perform them with cheerfulness of spirit and will be like a sunbeam to all around her. And she will be making melody in her heart to the Lord. At present, she feels that she has not your heart's affection. You have given her occasion to feel thus. You perform the necessary duties devolving upon you as head of the family, but there is a lack. There is a serious lack of love's precious influence, which leads to kindly attentions. Love should be seen in the looks and manners and heard in the tones of the voice. A disappointing, self-centered wife. The moral character of those united in marriage is either elevated or degraded by their association. And the work of deterioration accomplished by a low, deceptive, selfish, uncontrollable nature is begun soon after the marriage ceremony. If the young man makes a wise choice, he may have one to stand by his side who will bear to the utmost of her ability her share of the burdens of life, who will ennoble and refine him and make him happy in her love. But if the wife is fitful in character, self-admiring, exacting, accusing, challenging her husband with motives and feelings that originate only in her own perverted temperament, if she has not discernment and nice discrimination to recognize his love and appreciate it, but talks of neglect and lack of love because he does not gratify every whim, she will almost inevitably bring about the very state of things she seems to deplore. She will make all these accusations realities. Characteristics of a companionable wife and mother. Instead of sinking into a mere household drudge, let the wife and mother take time to read, to keep herself well informed, to be a companion to her husband, and to keep in touch with the developing minds of her children. Let her use wisely the opportunities now hers to influence her dear ones for the higher life. Let her take time to make the dear Savior a daily companion and familiar friend. Let her take time for the study of His Word. Take time to go with the children into the fields and learn of God through the beauty of His works. Let her keep cheerful and buoyant. Instead of spending every moment in endless sewing, make the evening a pleasant social season, a family reunion after the day's duties. Many a man would thus be led to choose the society of his home before that of the clubhouse or the saloon. Many a boy would be kept from the street or the corner grocery. Many a girl would be saved from the frivolous, misleading associations. The influence of the home would be to parents and children what God designed it should be, a lifelong blessing. Married life is not all romance. It has its real difficulties and its homely details. The wife must not consider herself a doll to be tended, but a woman, one to put her shoulder under real, not imaginary, burdens, and live an understanding, thoughtful life, considering that there are other things to be thought of than herself. Real life has its shadows and its sorrows. To every soul, troubles must come. Satan is constantly working to unsettle the faith and destroy the courage and hope of everyone. Counsel to an unhappy couple. Your married life has been very much like a desert, but very few green spots to look back upon with grateful remembrance. It need not have been thus. Love can no more exist without revealing itself in outward acts than fire can be kept alive without fuel. You, Brother C, have felt that it was beneath your dignity to manifest tenderness by kindly acts and to watch for an opportunity to evince affection for your wife by words of tenderness and kind regard. You are changeable in your feelings and very much affected by surrounding circumstances. Leave your business cares and perplexities and annoyances when you leave your business. Come to your family with a cheerful countenance, with sympathy, tenderness, and love. This will be better than expending money for medicines or physicians for your wife. It will be health to your body and strength to your soul. Your lives have been very wretched. You have both acted a part in making them so. God is not pleased with your misery. You have brought it upon yourselves by want of self-control. You let feelings bear sway. You think it beneath your dignity, Brother C, to manifest love, to speak kindly and affectionately. All these tender words you think savor of softness and weakness and are unnecessary. But in their place come fretful words, words of discord, strife, and censure. You have not the elements of a contented spirit. You dwell upon your troubles, imaginary want and poverty far ahead stare you in the face. You feel afflicted, distressed, agonized. Your brain seems on fire, your spirits depressed. You do not cherish love to God and gratitude of heart for all the blessings which your kind Heavenly Father has bestowed upon you. You see only the discomforts of life. A worldly insanity shuts you in like heavy clouds of thick darkness. Satan exalts over you because you will have misery when peace and happiness are at your command. Mutual love and forbearance rewarded. Without mutual forbearance and love, no earthly power can hold you and your husband in the bonds of Christian unity. Your companionship in the marriage relation should be close and tender, holy and elevated, breathing a spiritual power into your lives, that you may be everything to each other that God's word requires. When you reach the condition that the Lord desires you to reach, you will find heaven below and God in your life. Remember, my dear brother and sister, that God is love, and that by His grace you can succeed in making each other happy, as in your marriage pledge you promised to do. Men and women can reach God's ideal for them if they will take Christ as their helper. What human wisdom cannot do, His grace will accomplish for those who give themselves to Him in loving trust. His providence can unite hearts in bonds that are of heavenly origin. Love will not be a mere exchange of soft and flattering words. The loom of heaven weaves with warp and woof finer, yet more firm than can be woven by the looms of earth. The result is not a tissue fabric, but a texture that will bear wear and test and trial. Heart will be bound to heart in the golden bonds of a love that is enduring.
Amen, amen. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening. I pray that you are blessed and encouraged listening to the example of true love and happiness. And when Christ is not in the heart, the unhappiness and the selfishness will come forth. So that's why God, you know, the prophet tells us to make haste, make haste, but slowly. In whatever decision we make in life, we have to make sure that God is in the center of it and that, you know, we ask God for wisdom and direction so that he can direct our path. He can help us. Amen. So let us close with a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, we thank you today, Lord, for this short message telling us about human love and how our hearts are evil and deceptive, oh Father. But you want to put in us a clean heart. You want to create a right spirit within us, oh Father. And we ask that you will help us and you will teach us and you will guide us, oh Lord, into all truth, oh Father. And this is not even only for us, Lord. It's for our family or friends. May we share the message of love. May we share the message of forgiveness, the message of conversion. Oh, Lord, we ask that you will bless us this Sabbath. Oh, Lord, watch between us as we leave this line, oh, Father, but never leave your presence, oh, Lord. We ask that you will continue to help us, oh, Father, and protect us and guide us, oh, Lord. May your mighty angel stand by our side, oh, Lord, to protect us and direct us, Lord. I thank you for each and everyone who participated this evening. May you bless them abundantly. That they can act or ever think of, Lord, and so that it will overflow, that they will share with others and tell others of your goodness, O Father. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify, we magnify your name, Lord, because you are good and you are worthy to be praised, O Lord, and we thank you ever so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.